Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. This is our midweek Bible study right here on our website. And we thank you for coming, joining with us today, fulfilling the scripture. Forsake not the assembling of your... I want to stop right here before I quote this. I'm not talking about everybody coming to our church. That's impossible. Number one, we're not big enough to hold you. Number two, you're not close enough to come. Many of you, most of you. But here's what I am saying to you. When we here on the internet, on the World Wide Web, wherever you're hearing this broadcast, we're getting ready right now to fulfill this scripture. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as the manner of some is, but much more as you see the day approaching. The Bible says we're not children of the night nor the darkness, that day overtake us as a thief. Amen. We're children of the light, and we're getting ready to get into that light, the Word of God that David said is the Word of God is a lamp unto my feet. It's a light to my pathway. And this ever darkening world that we are living in, how we need the illuminating power of the Word of God, that lamp unto our feet, that light that shines on the pathway. The Bible said the path of the just is as a shining light that gets brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. Praise God. Well, thank you for joining us today. I feel the preaching coming on. And we're here to teach today. Amen. I want to talk to you today on this particular message that I believe is important, not just because that I am a Pentecostal preacher in that I preach what has been formally called the full gospel, which includes the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which includes the evidence of speaking in other tongues, which includes the operation of the gifts of the Spirit, which includes the laying hands on the sick and anointing with oil. That is part of what was once called the full gospel, because it was all inclusive of everything that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was all about. Salvation being primary, absolutely paramount, never any question about that. But what we want to talk about today is the God of miracles, the God of miracles. As I read my Bible, I see that the Lord God of Israel changes not. In the Old Covenant, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is our God today. We're not serving a lesser God or a different God. We're in a different dispensation, but I'm going to tell you right now, this is a better covenant established on better promises, for the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. But the God of the Old Covenant, with these types and foreshadows of Christ that Jesus fulfilled when he established the New Covenant, let me tell you what David said you could expect from the God of the Old Covenant, and certainly then our God today. We don't have a lesser covenant, do we? Psalm 103, and I'm not looking at it, I'm just going to quote parts of it. Amen. It said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases." That's pretty good so far, right? "Who delivers thy soul from destruction, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Praise God. Amen. This is a mighty mountain moving, healing, delivering, saving God that they were serving. He's the God that parted the Red Sea to get them out of Egypt. He's the God, amen, hallelujah, that allowed them to walk over and take cities that looked like they were impregnable and defeat fierce armies. He's the God that fought with them and for them. He intervened mightily, supernaturally. When Israel was right with God, nobody could defeat God's people. Amen. Listen carefully to the Word of God today. The God of miracles, is He the same that we are serving? when people think of Bible days, going back to Bible days. Why? Because God heard prayer, God answered prayer, God responded to intercession, and God intervened. Amen. That's why it said we have need of patience, that after we've done the will of God, we might receive the promise in Hebrews 10, beginning around verse 32. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For he that shall come will come, and he will not tarry. That's not the second coming of Jesus, nor the rapture, the secret coming of Christ for his bride. This is God manifesting his power in answer to our faith and in answer to our prayers. When we believe him for it, praise God. Amen. So the question today, is the God of miracles the God that we are serving today? And is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, emphasis on today and forever? Is he really the same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee? The one that's coming back certainly is the same. As they watched him ascend, why stand you gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who ascended is going to come back again. He's not going to be any different than he was when he walked with them, talked with them, ate with them, slept with them, praise God, and worked with them as they went forth to carry out the Great Commission. This same Jesus is the one who said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Hallelujah, lo, I'm with you always. So the God of miracles, the Christ of Bible days, amen, is honoring the Bible, the Word of God today. Jesus Christ the same, the Lord God of Israel, changes not. In him, the Scripture said, there's no variableness. Not even a chance, a possibility of changing or turning. In him is no darkness at all. That's why the Word of God, hearing it, brings faith. Because the God who spoke it is exactly the same God that we're dealing with right here, right now in the 21st century. Are miracles for today? Is the God of miracles still our God today? Let's look at Acts and let's look at this God of miracles that we serve here today. Before we begin to answer this question, let's look in the Word of God. Acts chapter 4, 29 through 33. This prayer is in response to really, they were preaching the gospel and people began to be healed, and they would have killed them for preaching the gospel. They turned on them. The religious leaders were threatened by the miracles of God and this mighty name of Jesus that they preached the gospel in. And they told him, don't preach or teach in this name. Go ahead and talk about the impotent God, the God who doesn't do anything but sit aloof in his heaven and establish religious hierarchies that had happened. That's what had happened to the Jewish people that once knew the God of wonders and the God of miracles. And they were actually intimidated by the miracle power of God that attended the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in particular, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they threatened the disciples and the apostles, and they told them, don't preach or teach any more in that name. They threatened them with death. They threatened them with beatings and incarceration. Listen to how they prayed in Acts 4, 29 through 33. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. Look at the first thing they asked for wasn't for some supernatural shaking or some supernatural fire that like was on the burning bush. They ask God to heal the sick by stretching forth thine hand to heal. God loves to release his power in particular to help his covenant people. You say, well, we're the old covenant. They had a covenant. That was the Abrahamic covenant. Let me tell you something about the new covenant. It's a better covenant. It's not a lesser covenant. It's a better covenant because it's established on better promises, for the blood of Jesus speaks of better things than that of bulls and goats. If he forgives mine iniquity, if he heals my diseases, if he delivers my soul from destruction, if he satisfies my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles, hallelujah, under the old covenant, if he parts the Red Sea, if he brings it back down to destroy the mightiest army of that time, their chariots with their horses, to deliver his people, if he brings water out of a flinty rock so that they could drink and that rock followed them, literally the water that came out followed them everywhere they camped, there was a stream from that one supernatural miracle, so they never did without the nourishment they needed. He sent supernatural manna down from heaven to feed them every day. They had fresh, sparkling water supernaturally provided them by the Lord. Oh, by the way, even when they wouldn't take the promised land because they let fear grip them and limited the God of Israel, all that time they wondered, he let them know, I am still with you. I would have done a lot more, but to indicate he was still with them, it said for 40 years their shoes didn't wear out and they walked everywhere they went. Friend of mine, that's some pair of shoes. I'd like to have a pair of shoes like that. Glory be to God. Listen, friend of mine, the God of miracles hasn't changed. Jesus Christ has not changed. What has changed is the church world and the Christian community. Listen, the God of miracles, if you define miracle in its, not complicated, but in its most common denominator, a miracle is a supernatural intervention into the normal course of human affairs. If there is something supernatural that intervenes in the normal course of human affairs, that is a miracle. It's something science cannot explain. Listen, for God to answer prayer at all for anything would require a miracle. We pray for divine intervention. In intercession for America, for God to intervene would require a miracle. If the days of miracles are over, or the apostles were the only ones that were able to pray that way and see God answer that way, all of these prayers would be in vain. If the days of miracles are over, prayer is pointless. Intercession is useless. And Christianity is demoted to just another impotent world religion. The only miracle we can and do constantly point to and should is Christ's resurrection. And as important as that is to our faith, this event that happened over 2,000 years ago does not change our need for supernatural intervention. In fact, the fact that Jesus rose from the dead and the fact that the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead is indwelling every child of God by and through and with the person of the Holy Spirit. Listen, friend of mine, if the days of miracles are over, all of this praying cannot be prayed in faith, because for God to answer one prayer for any purpose or anything would require a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. This is what they prayed for in the face of this opposition and persecution. And it said they would have stoned him if God didn't heal a man. They would have already killed him, but they feared the people because they could not deny that a notable miracle had been wrought by the mighty name of Jesus and faith in His name. When they had prayed, it said the place in verse 31 of Acts 4 was shaken where they were assembled together. But they didn't just pray for that as a sign. They prayed that first stretch forth thine hand to heal, and then that signs and wonders be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, and now the Holy Ghost in them rose up and manifested the power of God as they preached. Listen, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, I want you to emphasize that, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And great grace was upon them all. There's a prayer like that in the Old Covenant, and it's in Isaiah 64, 1 through 4. When the prophet has prophesied, he's sent by God, appointed of God, anointed of God, and he asks God to manifest himself, to separate himself from the gods who are not gods, the gods of the pagans, the idols that men worshiped. Listen to what he said, Isaiah 64. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains may flow down at thy presence. And when the melting fire burneth, the fire causes the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, and that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things that we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. What? They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up. Because God comes down. Praise God. This scripture is quoted in the New Covenant, where it says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, it's never entered the heart of man, what God hath prepared for them, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. God has moved by His Spirit. He's manifested God's power by the Holy Spirit. Dear friend of mine, the God of biblical times has not changed, but the 21st century church has changed. Are signs and wonders necessary today? Can we pray for God to manifest His power, to confirm His word with signs following? Are we so good at preaching the gospel, preparing the message, establishing the programs, that we don't need God to show up and manifest Himself? Is the Christian faith so strong, so influential in our world today, in the face of all the other world religions that are really outgrowing Christianity today? And friend of mine, listen carefully. Should we be praying for God to show up? And as one preacher put it, show up and show out. Should we pray for the God of miracles to confirm His word when we preach the gospel with signs following? Is that only for that time? Is it only for the apostles? What about the other 70 that He anointed? They were not all apostles. They were disciples. He sent them out. They came back saying, demons are subject to us through thy name. He said, don't rejoice over that. Rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Amen. He didn't tell them not to do that. And when people were doing it, operating in the gifts of the Spirit in the authority of Jesus' name. Some of the disciples rebuked them because they didn't know them personally, and they told Jesus, we told them to shut up. They're out there casting out demons in your name. And he said, anybody that does that in my name, amen, let them alone. Just let them alone. We may not know them personally, but they are of us. They're on our side. They're on our team. No one that does that can speak lightly of me, because it was through his name that that occurred. There's not just an attack from the world on the supernatural power and presence of God today. There's an attack in many sectors of the church world against any demonstration of supernatural power. Some are going so far as to attribute that power to the devil himself. When Jesus was operating in the supernatural, and he did everywhere that he went, there were those in religious sects that absolutely said he does this by Beelzebub, not by the God, the Holy God, but he does this by Beelzebub. He does this by the devil himself. He does this by the Lord of the flies, the Lord of death. Oh, friend of mine. And Jesus warned them about that. He said, you can speak against God, it'll be forgiven you if you seek forgiveness. If you speak against Jesus, it'll be forgiven you if you seek forgiveness. But if you speak against the Holy Spirit, it's called blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And it wasn't just what they said, it was why they said it. It was the condition of their heart. For the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. They were hardening their heart against the light that was shining unto them through Christ, hardening their heart, refusing to recognize in their midst the very Son of God. And Jesus put it this way, if you knew my Father that you called the Holy One, you would have known me because I came out from Him. Admit it or not, dear friend, our Western world is now a secular humanistic society, meaning that man is supreme in all things. Anything that is of a spiritual or supernatural nature is relegated to the movies like The Force and Star Wars and books like Harry Potter, and well out of the sphere of public reality and acceptance. It took about 100 years for this shift to take place, this paradigm shift, if you please. But it has happened, and we are now in it. This philosophy has also invaded territory that is well into the realm of the Christian church, so that the majority of Christians in the West, in particular in our area of the world, now look for nothing to ever happen that cannot be explained by natural means. Any experience that is spiritual can amount to no more than a nice, warm, I call it a liver shiver feeling on one's insides that may come and go from time to time. And yes, we're attentive to be always praying for the physical healing for our people, making our long prayer list for that very need. But we seem never to realistically expect healing to actually happen unless by natural means. If it doesn't, and if it does happen, we seem surprised or taken back. Even the most fundamental churches are of this secular bent of mind today. Although they may never admit it, the old days of thunderous revivals when tears of sorrow and joy flowed and people were physically shattered before a holy God are long forgotten. The best we can hope for anymore is for our numbers to increase. And so we concentrate on church growth, in effect, numbers, instead of spiritual growth and the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Make no mistake about it, I want to see our church grow. I want to see the church, the true church, the body of Christ grow. Amen. But not because of personality or programs and performances, but because of God's power to save, deliver, and set free. Listen to Mark 16, 15 through 18. Jesus had told his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. This is not snake handling. I'm from Kentucky. My wife was a coal miner's daughter from Kentucky. And there were some back in those mountains there were. And there's other places. It's not just Kentucky. But there were people who took this to mean you handle a snake that is venomous to prove your faith. No, this is talking about that old serpent, the devil, and the demon hierarchy that he influences and uses. Powers and principalities, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Listen, they will take up serpents. We will have power over and authority over all of the power of the enemy through the mighty name of Jesus and the power and person of the Holy Spirit. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. You don't drink poison to prove your faith. You're saying that we can't live in a world like this that is fallen. We can't have a body that is faulty and not come in contact with things that can be harmful to us. But he said it's not going to hurt you. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And verse 20 says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, hallelujah, confirming the word with signs following, amen. That's why we have James 5:14. These words of Christ were being carried out, giving heed and practiced in the early church. If there be any sick among you, let them call the elders, the mature ones, not just some big name evangelist with gifts of the Spirit. Let them call the elders. Let them call the mature brethren together. Amen. Let them anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Amen. And they shall recover. When we anoint with oil, we put the oil on our hands and we put the hands on the people. Praise God. And God does the heavy lifting. We do the light thing. He does the mighty thing. Glory to the Lord. Listen, the God of miracles is alive and well today. Jesus has risen from the dead. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is with us today. Hallelujah. And there is no doubt that the working of miracles, signs, and wonders help bring people to Jesus Christ. It caused evangelism to explode in the early days and in the early church. This is what Luke wants us to see, and this is why the Christians prayed for signs and wonders to happen. Praise God. We're going to talk about that next week if you will come back. I want to tell you right now, the God of miracles has not changed. The church world has changed and is changing. Listen, friend of mine, we need the Lord to move in our midst. We need the Lord to save our lost loved ones. We need a supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs, because if it continues the way it's going without God's intervention, look what is happening and ponder what is going to happen to America and to the world about us today. If we're going to do a quick work of evangelism to bring many souls into the kingdom before the door of the ark is shut and the day of the Lord is released upon this world, friend of mine, we need help to reach the world. There is no program of man that can supplant or take the place of the mighty, mighty Holy Spirit moving in power. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I would have died of cancer. I would have died of cancer before I was 9 years old, because somewhere in the, when I was in the late seventh year of my life, early eighth year, I was diagnosed with leukemia in a stage that they had nothing back in the early 50s. They had nothing to treat it with. And nothing to treat it with meant I was in a hopeless situation. My parents were being prepared by the doctor to lose their child. They were told, when it gets in the last stages, we had no insurance, we were very poor, that they would get me admitted to the county hospital. And it wasn't like the nice one today. It was an old, it looked like something, honestly, out of a Stephen King movie. It was poorly funded and badly staffed. It just didn't have adequate people or adequate resources. But you see, there is a God of glory, and there is a risen Christ, and there is a mighty name, the name of Jesus. They took me to church for prayer. An evangelist was preaching, and there was a prayer line to pray for the sick after the gospel was preached. Just like in the early church, just like in the early days, just like in recent times, not too many years ago, these kind of things were occurring when Christians were together. My mother took me forward, held my hand. As I got closer, I felt almost an electrical tingling type of feeling coming over me. And when I stood before the evangelist that was praying and laying hands on the sick, anointing with oil, and the other preachers around him that were touching him, the one mind, one accord, my mother went to tell him by diagnosis, said, "My son needs prayer. He has Lou." She got the Lou of leukemia out. And he just slapped his hand on my head. He wasn't a highly educated man. He didn't have a PhD from a seminary. Nothing against education. We need more of it. Listen, but he had a knowledge of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who never changes, and the Jesus who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He laid hands on me quickly. He spoke up and said, "I rebuke the cancer of the blood in this child. I curse it in the name of Jesus Christ." I was pale. I was weak. I could hardly stand up for long. I had to lay down for most of the day. But the next day, that all changed. And the next week, it really changed. And when they took me back to the doctor to have a re-examination because of the mighty change that had occurred in me, he recognized, through the test he run, there is no sign of cancer in this child. None whatsoever. But a man of science has a real problem with the supernatural. So he put down on my record, supernatural. spontaneous, he wouldn't use supernatural. He put down spontaneous remission. In other words, there's no reason for it to leave, no reason for it to die, no reason for it to be gone, but it just up and left. No, he didn't use up and left. That was me and is me. I know why it left. My mom and dad know why it left. It left because the name of Jesus is just as authoritative now as it was over 2,000 years ago. And the God who honors the prayer prayed in the name of Jesus is the same God that parted the Red Sea, brought water out of the rock. Amen. The God of miracles hasn't went anywhere. Hallelujah. He's still omnipotent, all-powerful. He's still omniscient. He's all-knowing, and he's still omnipresent. He's still right here with us today. Glory to God. Amen. The greatest miracle, I will concede this for sure, the greatest miracle of all is when a soul is saved For no man comes to Jesus except the Father draw him. That is a supernatural intervention. In the normal course, that soul would continue on the path that it was on. It would end up in a devil's hell instead of God's heaven. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I am convinced that the supernatural power of God, the supernatural person of God, the Holy Spirit, is drawing you to Jesus. For it is not His will that any perish, the Scriptures declare, but that all come to repentance. Would you come to repentance today? Would you respond to this call of God through the gospel? Would you recognize that I'm not trying to get you to change your mind? God is calling you to salvation. God is drawing you by His Spirit to come to Jesus, repent of your sin, and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because God will save you. God will seal you with the Holy Spirit, and God will keep you safe from the wrath to come. You'll be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, and you can pray and expect God to hear your prayer and to help you with whatever you face in this life and to take you home when it's time to go home, to live with Him in heaven forever. Come to Jesus today. Come to Christ today. And be saved. In Jesus' name.